Psalm 51 is one of seven penitential psalms, a psalm of confession that we find in the Psalter. If you've been attending our Wednesday night Lent services, we've began pretty much each service in our call to worship with one of the seven penitential psalms. One thing that makes Psalm 51 unique among, I would say, most of the psalms is that we actually have a context for which it was given. We actually know the occasion for when it was written. Our Lutheran Book of Worship doesn't include this, but in our Bibles, part of verse 1, we are told that this is a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And if you were to go to 2 Samuel, you would be able to see the story that this comes from. It was the spring of the year. It was a time when warrior kings such as David would go out and lead their armies into battle, either to defend their borders or to enlarge them. But in this particular spring, King David decided to stay home. And he left to his servant Joab the duty of commanding his armies against the Ammonites. And one day, while his armies were off to war, David decided to take a walk on the rooftop of his palace home. And there he saw her. Bathsheba, a very beautiful woman. He saw her in the distance. The wife of Uriah was bathing, and King David watched. Not only did he watch, but he desired. And being king, he sent for Bathsheba, and the two reveled in an affair. Now David knew that what he did was wrong. But like so many of us, when we do wrong, we try to hide it. We don't like getting caught. We don't want to be found out. And David didn't want his sin to be exposed. And it probably wouldn't have, except for one thing. Bathsheba became pregnant. So David called Bathsheba's husband home from war. He was fighting the war that David wasn't at, in the hopes that the young soldier might find solace, might find comfort in the embrace of his wife. But Uriah was an honorable man, and he refused to sleep in his own house, while his brothers in arms remained at the front lines of battle. So, since the pregnancy couldn't be pawned off on Bathsheba's husband, King David, King of Israel, resorted to a far more nefarious plan. It was simple. Have the commander of the armies place Uriah at the front of the battle, in the most exposed and dangerous position possible. The scheme worked. Uriah died in battle, and David got what he wanted, and no one was none the wiser. He sent for Bathsheba again, and he comforted her in her mourning. And in her loss, he married her. But God cannot be fooled. He knows the heart of all and sees all, and God was not pleased. So he sent his prophet Nathan to David and exposed David's sin. And out of this exposure, out of this confrontation, is where we get Psalm 51. It is David's response to being exposed, and it is David's confession of sin. The psalm begins, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." See, Old Testament law, justice, demands really that David die. In the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Leviticus, it mentions that those who are guilty of adultery need to be purged from the kingdom of Israel. Their sin cannot live in the community of God. So David cannot appeal to God's justice because he is guilty. So instead, David appeals to God's mercy, to God's steadfast love, his loving kindness. David knows that he has crossed a line, and a very bad line at that. He knows that his sin has hurt many people. It's hurt the family of Uriah. It certainly hurt Uriah. Uriah died because of it. He knows that his transgression has jeopardized Bathsheba. It has jeopardized his kingship, his relationship to his armies, to his countrymen, the people who are under him as king. But more than anything, David knows that he has endangered his relationship to the Lord, to God Almighty. "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, O Lord, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." Ultimately, all our wrongdoings are done against the Lord. They're done against God. For certain, our wrongdoings, our sins, they affect other people, they affect ourselves. There are consequences to our sin, and some of those consequences are legal justice. But in the end, it is clearly and plainly an offense against God. David has come to the realization that his sin is exposed, that he is dirty. And in this psalm, we hear him praying that God would cleanse him. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. I have been sinful since birth. Purify me, Lord, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." When David first saw Bathsheba, she was bathing. And she was bathing as part of a ritual to make herself religiously clean. But David knows that he cannot clean himself. There is nothing he can do. Only God can cleanse the sin from him. It is only the Lord who can once again make David pure, a person in whom there is no iniquity, there is no guilt of sin. David's fall from grace reminds us of the words from James chapter 1. James says this, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." In David's story, sin certainly led to death. It led to the death of Uriah, the potential death of David and Bathsheba, the spiritual death of David for sure. But it also led to another death. When David is confronted by Nathan and he confesses his sin, that he has sinned against the Lord, he receives from Nathan the Lord's forgiveness. But he also receives the consequences of what his sin is going to be. That his sin has come with a price. Nathan tells David, "The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. But because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you must die. 7 days later, the child born to David and Bathsheba out of their affair dies. David and Bathsheba are forgiven over their sin, but their consequences are great. Our sin leads to death. In a few ways, Romans says this, "For the wages of sin is death." But, and here's another big but again, we had a big but last week, here's another big but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord, the Son of God who died for us. Our sin, just like David, leads to the death of a son, but it is not our own son's. It is God's Son who willingly dies for us. Christ has taken the punishment of sin upon himself. He pacifies God's justice so that God can be and will be merciful, abounding in steadfast love for you because of God's loving kindness through Jesus Christ. We now can pray with David, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." We are recreated. We are cleansed. And we only have to look to the waters of baptism to know this thing. That in baptism we are given a clean heart. We are given a right spirit. We are given God's Holy Spirit and invited into God's presence through word and sacrament. And though we still struggle with sin, God's Holy Spirit continues to work in us, always working in us, convicting us of those things we have done, leading us in paths of righteousness. Now may you and I, in faith, revel in the joy of our salvation and know that our salvation is always being renewed and restored and upheld through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we ask that your word would work to us like the prophet Nathan works to us, that we would be told and convicted of our sin, realize who we are. But Lord, we also ask that we would know that we can fall upon your mercy and your steadfast love, to know that you are there to forgive us and desire to forgive us through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Son who died for our sin. Lord, strengthen us in this knowledge and help us to follow you. Lord, at this time, we also pray for our mission of the month of April and ask that you would have your hand in the choosing of this mission and that through this congregation, through us, you would bless whatever mission you would have us bless. We pray this in your name. Amen.